side points of the sugya. Last thing we were discussing were echoes. First we discussed the Ilusa de Medina, the different perspectives, whether the Ilusa de Medina is just legalug, you know, ha'am, and it's a question of, you know, the system, or whether or not it really is a din in the character of Psak Halacha, a very important yesod. If it's really true, you have to dig it out from the sugya. It's not there, but I think we established that there is such a concept that according to some Rishonim, it's very, very prominent, etc. So then we're talking about the echoes of it, meaning even if you don't paskin chayshinan lizilusa de bedina, but do we find that these interim phases of the process of going through a din Torah can create its own momentum and like can really change the status quo of certain forces or factors in the process? So again, we discussed Rivav, we discussed Rashi and Ksuvis, a number of things. The last thing we were discussing was the Ramban. I was trying to make the point that even though the Ramban is a, call him a strict constructionist when it comes to the rule of Ein Chayshina and Lizilusa de Bedina, meaning we don't accept that idea at all, and anything, you know, in the interim process, generally speaking, is just that. I mean, is reassessed completely in light of the new evidence that comes across. If you, you know, we're about to render a psak din, or even if you actually pronounced a psak din, even if you were mivatseya a psak din on the basis of two edim, and then it turns out that there were two edim in the other direction, and it was really trey utrey. So, all things being equal, the Ramban, you know, takes the hard line, ein chayshinan lizilusa de bedina, which basically means that that was all a tos, not a tos that you are, you know, being blamed for, you're not culpable in any way, not held account, you didn't do anything wrong, but it turns out, that this was a bad, you know, turns out to be the information was incomplete, or, let's just say it was incomplete, and therefore we go back to where we were. So that seems to be the Ramban's general view, unlike the other Rishonim where we were talking or seeing these echoes. And yet, there was one echo even in the Ramban, and that's the last thing we talked about. And that is the case, the first case of the Gemara, actually, the Kol Da'alim Gavar idea. But the point I wanted to make is that the Ramban perceives it in a certain way. There are two elements in the Ramban's treatment. One is that he perceives the in a situation where you have the object neither in the Rishus of one nor the other. You have a disputed object or a disputed karka, and it's not in the Muxakos of anybody. So then you have the partial Eidus, which basically... you know, we thought at the time was our final piece of evidence, and then they took the karka and they placed it in one party's domain. So now, according to the Ramban, that we have the, you know, further evidence, the complete picture, so the Ramban sees the taking of the object away from the interim mukzak, he sees that as being a situation of motzi'in Lekol Da'alim Gavar. That's how he formulates it. And that's what we read yesterday. So the idea is that there are really two components in the Ramban's treatment. One is that he perceives it that way. In other words, that unlike the Rajbam and Tosis, and that's the contrast, which I just didn't have time in the end of Sunday Shir to make. But again, if you look at the way the Rajbam interprets this, Rajbam says, "Lo naksika ze yosa mize, hol the edus shneim shave," which is Rajbam's way of saying not that motzi'in lekol da'alim gavar, but simply that you reverse the kumbase that you previously did betos. So it's not that we're motzi'im le; it's that we're simply machzirim, right, lematzav shehaya, to the original status quo, and then mimela, if it's, you know, ba'emtza, is going to be called alam gavar, and that's what Tosas seems to be saying as well. Tosas anan achtina le anan maskinan le vim haya osa deleis le chazak zavase muksak tchila asa shaper achtinan umaskinan shena amida biyado kasher haya betchila afil lo haya muksak lo leze velo leze matzu lefar shachtina le sisa leze. Right, umasiknalesha notziena miyado, the yehe din called alam gavar. I just think that the difference in formulation to the yehe from the yehe din called alam gavar to motziim le called alam gavar is not just semantics. I think that's an important point. So the point is that there may be two points of argument, or one, it's hard to know, but there seem to be two issues between the Ramban on one side and the Rashbam and Tosfos on the other. One is, if we reverse things, do we view it as reversing it to create a kol da'alam gabar? And that's what the Ramban thinks. And the Ramban, because he thinks that, right, doesn't want to do it because his view of kol da'alam gabar is a kind of a siluk. So you're never going to make a move, you're never going to initiate to create kol da'alam gabar. It's just a stira minei umei. The whole point of kol da'alam gabar is lo mizdak kekinan lei. We just, we don't get involved. So you don't get involved, then you don't initiate kol da'alam gabar. The word initiate, followed by kol da'alam gabar, is a tarta d'sasri. That's the idea of the Ramban. But the idea that this constitutes an initiation, when all you're really doing is going back to square one, where you were before you only had, as it turns out, although you didn't know it then, partial information, right? You thought you had full information. Turns out you had partial information. So we're just returning to where we were before we acted on partial information. Does that constitute initiating kol da'alam gabar? So I think that is the point that the other Rishonim may be debating. They may be debating one of two points or both points, but at minimum, it seems like the Ramban thinks this is initiating kol da'alam gabar, and the Rashbam and Tosfos think it's about redressing, right, what turned out to be a precipitous step, and consequently being in a situation where the normal din of kol da'alam gabar applies. Now, do they also maybe think that kol da'alam gabar is either a psak bezdin or a biror? That's very possible too. But they don't need to say that if they argue on this first point. And the Ramban is explicit, not only in his, semantics, motzim le, but also in his explanation. Because even though he calls it ta'us, which again makes him, or is consistent with his being a strict constructionist and the lo chayshina lezilusa de bedina sense of the thing, meaning he's not averse to saying that it was a mistake, as opposed to saying, well, we wouldn't have done it if we had all the information we have now, but we still don't know that it was a mistake, which is the other perspective in the sugya, right? So he's not averse to saying that, but at the same time, he adds that it was done birshus. And that's key for the Ramban. But being birshus is what makes it motzi and le, as opposed to simply reversing course and returning to status quo. So that's the point I wanted to make in the Ramban, just if it wasn't clear, to make it clearer now, what exactly the Ramban says. How does this fit with the fact that the Ramban normally doesn't like interim, the impact of interim, incomplete, igloi milsa l'mafreya, incomplete edus? So as I said, if the difference is a physical one, if there's significance to the physical change, which there is in this context because of his view of kol da'alam gabar, and that's the difference between reshus and toes, right? There can be a toes, but it can still be birshus. If that's not a stira minei ubei, then the physical reality of the change is going to be enough to preclude kol da'alam gavar from the Ramban's perspective. But anytime we're talking about a legal impact, like recalibrating, redefining mukzakus, which is more of a legal concept, not the physical control of the chayfetz, but the legal status of mukzakus, the Ramban will never go for that. Okay. And that's why he is the leader of the Rashi opposition, right, in the Rashi's view of Ksuvus Chafam Mudeis, right? He says, once it's trey on the level of Edus, that's the line of the Ramban. Once it's trey on the Edus level, then how can you talk about a lingering, change in Muxakus? The Muxakus has also been completely nistar in the process. How can the Ramban say that? And then he can turn around and say this, right? And it's the same, we're presuming that the Ramban's shita didn't change, which is a good initial assumption anyway. The answer is because they're two different dinim, very different. Other Rishonim, like the Rashbam and Rashi, don't even think the physical change is something that is accepted in this as a result of this interim process. Maybe for them, it's tos and it's not birshus either. Unless the argument really is just about kol da'alam gabar, I think it's possibly about both points. So that's issue number one. Issue number two. In the context of chayshin l'zusa d'beidina and the whole discussion about horah versus bitzua, so I neglected to make one point, that I had wanted to, and then Donnie brought it to my attention a couple of days ago, Thursday, as I recall, and then I just got to mention it again on Sunday. So I just want to zero in on that for a minute. What we suggested for that whole issue, like sometimes it appears that a hurrah alone would be sufficient to generate zilusa de bedina, especially our idea of psak. And sometimes you need the implementation of the hurrah, right, in order to say that halacha. Good. So when one and when the other? And what is the nature of that machloka? So if you go across the board, if you have somebody who says you always didn't require maisa, or somebody who says it always depends only on the hurrah, so, you know, it's much easier to pin that down. But is it possible to be mechalek between different tchumim in the halacha, between the ishus and kahuna? Particularly, that would really help solve the sugya, because it seems in the sugya like the mandamar says zilusa de beidina chayshinan in the suin is only talking about a situation where there was an actual implementation, where there was a marriage. And yet, in the sugya, it seems pretty clear that just, you know, establishing that the kohen is a kohen miyuchas, even if he hasn't done any, or you haven't paskin that he can actually be nosei es kapav or do the avoda or eat truma, daraisa, that would also be sufficient. So again, as we saw, the Arishonim would try to say maybe even the Isha's case is hara, the Rabban has that for the Chachamim, there are those who say even the Kohen case is Maisa, that's one day in the Ramban, and there are those who say, listen, there is a Chiluk, but the Chiluk has to do with the potential out there. That's where there's a potential to be mevatzea. So then that's what constitutes, that's what defines Zilusa de Bedina. That's the other day in the Ramban. And where not, then Hora alone is Zilusa. But they possibly meant that in a practical way, in the Chucho Tlula Liglug, you know, perspective of Zilusa de Bedina. Namely, what are people going to say? You know, well, if you haven't, if you could implement and you haven't yet implemented, not such a big zilusa de beidina. But if this is, you know, all Besdin can do anyway, and this is what they've said, so they've completely weighed in on the issue, and now we're going to overturn beidina. That's what it sounds like in the Ramban and the Rashba. What I was suggesting was, no, maybe the different tchumim and halacha, sometimes it's hora, and sometimes the bitsua is part of the hora. And what Dani brought to my attention correctly, which I had wanted to speak about anyway, is that we find this issue in several places. He mentioned to me specifically the Rambam's Psak in Ukel Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, in the Sugin Zeborer about Zavla, right? What happens when you do Kiblo Alai, not Zavla per se, but Kiblo Alai. Let's say you say, you know, Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Ima, Neman Alai Gimel Roy Bakar, right? So you accept somebody who is Pasol, as a dayan or an aid. That's the sugya of kiblo alai. So at what point is kiblo alai binding? So the Rambam has a strange psak in which he seems to say that you have to actually implement the psak on the basis of the kiblo alai, which doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. Either way, that's the Rambam and Zion base in Sanhedrin, and there's a whole discussion, the Shach and others, and all the Mefarshim al Atar, did the Rambam mean it? If so, what are the implications of it, etc.? The broader issue, which we're not going, I'm just mentioning it, we're not going to go into it beyond this, is that there really are three formulations in different Gemaras of what constitutes a Gemar Din or a Hamada B'din with regard to different halachos. One is the statement Plonia Tazakai, Plonia Tachaya. The other is Chayev Atalitain. And the third is Tse Tainlo. And the Rishonim in different places, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, and of Zion, in the context of Pshara, like when can you back out of a Pshara, in that sugya in Zeborer regarding Kiblo Alai, in the sugya in Bava Kamma, those who were here a couple of years ago, we learned Bava Kamma, Meruba, right, so 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, so we talked about the sugya of Chazra, Karen, Eitzel Habal, right, if you want to preempt the Knas of Kefel, if you want to get out of Kefel, so if you can get the Karen back to the Baal before the Gemar Din, so there won't be, it won't trigger a Chiyuv Kefel. It's based on Gzeres HaKasim. So that's the Gemara in Meruba. So what do you mean before the Gemar Din? Right, what is Gemar Din in that context? And of course, it's an issue that comes up particularly with respect to Knossos, generally, which are so dependent on Gemar Din. So which of these three formulations is the correct one? Right? Clearly, they sound different, right? There's a range. Plonia Tazakai, Plonia Tachayiv sounds like a theoretical Psak Din. It sounds like what we're saying is that, you know, you're justified and you're not. But it seems removed from any real, it's a status issue, status of the Gavra. Right. Chayiv Atalitain, on the other hand, at least is a charge. Tzeitain is a command to implement. These are three different levels. If you look at the various Gemaras, and now is not the time to analyze the sugya, so sometimes the Gemara says one, sometimes it says the second, and sometimes it says the third, and the Bali Tosis already, and then the other Rishonim, all weigh in to try to figure out, you know, is it all the same thing, and just the, you know, Gemara's Lavdafka and its usage? Are there two categories? Are there three categories? Is there one category? If there are two or three, so when do we talk about the earlier Gemar Din? When do we use the later Gemar Din? I think this is very relevant to what we've been talking about. Basically, we're trying to figure out, when is Hora, when is Gemar Din about pronouncing the status of the individual? When is it about, you know, rendering a pragmatic decision about what should be done? And when is it about the beginning of the implementation, actually commanding the implementation itself? So if we were suggesting the difference between different areas of halacha, then the definition of hora and gemar din would be relevant to that question as well. The Rav certainly thought on the issue of zilus debinyan, this question, that one can be mechalik between establishing a kohen miyuchas and nisuin, and that nisuin may require implementation and the status of kohen miyuchas may be just a hora in its own right, particularly if you hold, like the Rambam, that kohen miyuchas is a status. I mean, it's not just a precondition for certain dinim daraisa, like truma daraisa and avoda, etc., but that there's something called a kohen miyuchas, which is also implied by the Rambam's, another point in the Rambam, which is going to be relevant in just a minute. If you look at the Rambam, Nuchas Yisurai Bia, Perak Chaf, what's been going on back here, by the way? What did you have before? Zion base? Okay, good. Did you also do all those Tosa that I was kind of obliquely referring to? Or? No. Okay. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Chav, Hilchos Yisurei Bia, right, Halacha, Aleph and Beis, so it seems clear that the Rambam requires Shnei Edim to establish, you know, a Kohen Miyuchas. This, of course, is an issue. What, again, this is, a last year topic for those of us who are here. Again, in the Sugya of Veidechad Neman B'Yisurim, what is Erva and what is Mamon and what is Iser? Right? Is Erva, strictly speaking, Gittin, Kiddushin, those are Edekiyum, Yibum, Chalitza, Znus? Right? Anything else is not Erva, it's Isurim or Mamon? Right? Or Erva refers, is that the right one? Erva refers to status. I mean, anything having to do with personal status is an issue of Davar Shebe Erva. That seems to be a big machlokes Rishonim. So the Rav used to say routinely that the Rambam's view seems to be that there's an extended idea of Davar Shebe Erva which requires Shnayim. And that can be demonstrated from a few Rambams, one of which is, I think this one, Ezu Koin B'yuchos, Kol She'idlo She'idim Shu Koin, Ben Ploni HaKoin, Ploni Ben Ploni HaKoin, Ad Ish She'ino Tzarech B'dika. Right? So that's the idea that we're talking about a second, this idea of Kohen Miyuchas, at least, whose identity has to be established b'shneidim. So that also is consistent with the Rambam's view that a Gadol, at least Legabe in Yana Ishus, has to be established. That's Perek Beis Hilchos Ishus. I think it's Halacha, either Chaf Aleph or Chaf Beis, that the Rambam also there requires Shnayim Eidim. Again, these are obviously issues that are not directly, I mean, the Kohen Miyuchas has nothing to do with Erva in strictest sense. The issue of Godless and Katnus, you know, is very impactful to the question of Erva. And the Rambam deals with it in Hilchos Ishus. But again, technically, it's about status. And here too, the Rambam, what? Whoa. Okay. Is it, wow, they won.
Another one?
Yeah, it's just fine. You look it up. Perek Beis Hakasish is Halakha Kaf Beis. Right. So this, you know, this aid is just spoiling us all. It's, you know, Jesse's away for a day, and we all, you know, fall into chaos. It's, you know, it's, we have to do something. Anyways, the point is that if there's a status of Kohen Miyuchas and establishing a Kohen Miyuchas, so the idea that has nothing to do with actually implementing the dinim. It's not just a precondition in Nisiyas Kapayim or Avoda or some of them or Truma. There's a chalos called Kohen Miyuchas. So then, the idea that the Hora alone, even separate from the Bitsua Hadin, is going to define Zilusa de Bedina makes a great deal of sense. In terms of the marriage, you know, it could be that, you know, until they're Masada Kedushin at your wedding, or at least they are involved in the nitty gritty. Not just, they're pronouncing her to be a Pnuya in this circumstance. They're giving her a heter, you know, a Rishayon of Nisuin. Or they're just being machshir her wedding when it takes place. Or they're not doing any of those three. They're just, you know, trying to give good advice and preside over, you know, Klal Yisrael's spiritual attainments and so on. So depending on which of those four, is this, you know, going to be dependent upon psak? Is it shaykh to zilusa de bedina at all? And if so, the psak is defined by the bitsua or not. Again, in the Ravan, we had the idea that, listen, a psak is a psak. Of course, there's a debate, the way the Ravon understands it, there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rav Nachum, Rav Yosef, what happens when he gloy milsalam afreya that the psak was based on incomplete information. At that point, maybe only the bitsua based on the psak is a psak. And if the psak remains without bitsua, then it's nekar lamafreya. That's how the Ravon interpreted the machlokas between Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yosef. It's a fascinating read. Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yosef and the Chacham. The Chacham think a psak is a psak no matter what. It almost rhymes. It sounds very like whatever. But the Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yosef had the more subtle view that a psak is a psak. Until you find out that it's based on incomplete information, at that point, only bitsua of a psak is a psak. Okay. So anyways, the whole tzeitein, chayev atalitein, plonia tazakai issue, I think, highlights the problem. Next. Let's say you hold lo chay shino lezilusa de pedina. So, as we've discussed, that's because you think that there is no such idea of hora or of the need to defend the institution, or at least to protect the reputation of the institution of Beis Din, or is it because the best way to protect Beis Din is total transparency and, you know, just the merits of each and every case? So that, I think, is also an interesting issue. I think Itamar brought to my attention that Rabbeinu Chananel has a line, right, in which he says that even though we pass in lo chay shinan, why is it? Because it isn't Zilusa de Baidina. Exactly what we're looking for, meaning that not that Zilusa de Baidina isn't enough to overcome tzedek and truth, but because the ultimate Zilusa de Baidina is served probably by truth. By the same token, the Meiri, also Tamar pointed out to me, that the Meiri has a line just in terms of the range. We start off the sugya by asking, what is the relationship between Zilusa de Baidina and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Aleph, which talks about, Mevi'in Raya, V'sostrim, Es Hadin. So the Meiri just has that line, he brings the sugya in, by saying, we paskin lo chay shino lezilusa de beidina, right? V'kol shekein, says the Meiri, that if it was a case where you had Raya, Listo, or Sadin, for sure you wouldn't say zilusa de beidina. Now, of course, by saying that, it's almost like the beginning of the Ravan. By going so much further and considering that might have been even a candidate for Zilusa de Beidina, right, does that show the lig-lug, you know, well, you will protect Bezdin's reputation, but only so far. As opposed to if it's about, you know, the definition of a psak, obviously a psak can never be contrary to what we know to be the truth. So, again, the connection between the two sugyas within Zilusa de Beidina, that line of the Meiri is important, I think, for that, excuse me, for that as well. Another element in Zilusa, just give me a couple more minutes, and then I'll finish up the Zilusa part, and then I'll take questions before we got into the rest of the sugya. Is the position of Rabbeinu Gershom, or one line of Rabbeinu Gershom here in the sugya, which Ariel noted, and which again also I think deserves a comment or two, talking about the trei of the Isha's case. You have Trey who say she's a Pnuya, right? Either Mesa Bala or Nizgarsha, right? And then you have Trey who come later on and they say, you know, Lo Mesa Bala or Lo Nizgarsha. So the Rebbeinu Gershom just has a strange line when he describes that case. He describes the second Kat as declaring that the first Kat were Imanu Hayisen, meaning, instead of saying the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that there was a hakhasha here and a classic trey, Rabbeinu Gershom describes the second kat as being involved in a case of hazama. Now, the reason why that's so, when I first read the Rabbeinu Gershom, that also struck me, and it occurred to me that the reason why would anybody interpret the Gemara this way, I mean, it's very strange, is for a practical reason. Namely, how do you know, right, lo ra'inu eino raya, to be made that somebody was, you know, mace, or to say that somebody was nizgarsha is one thing. To say lo nizgarsha or lo mace is obviously much more difficult. So if basically what you're saying is, Imanu Ayisem, how could you know? Rather than, I know, that's easier. I think it's probably what motivated Rabbeinu Gershom, but I'm not sure. Either way, two questions emerge from Rabbeinu Gershom's treatment. One is, why isn't there an actual, simply nemanus, the second kat, given the reality that we're dealing with the case of Hazama? Forget why we're dealing with Hazama. If we are dealing with Hazama, we always believe the second kat over the first kat. So it's not trey utrey anymore, and it's not just a question of zilusa de bedina. There should be complete nemanus to the second kat. That seems to be a very powerful question. The answer to the question, Ariel suggests, and without any other answer, I basically agree, is based on something that we've been discussing a little bit earlier. And that is, there is a view in the Rishonim, in the Gonim, really, the view of Rav Haigon, which is also quoted by Rabbeinu Chananel in Makos on Daf Hei. There's a, you know, the Mishnah in Makos describes Hazama in terms of Eina Edim Nasim Zomim Adshia Zimu Es Atzman. So most Rishonim interpret that what that means is, Adshia Zimu Es Atzman means that you have to attack the Gavra Edim. There's a difference between, as we've said, the difference between Azama and Akasha is Akasha, you're attacking the Edus, and in Azama, you're attacking the Edim. So that's what the words of that Mishnah mean. Eda Edim Nasim Zomim Ad Sheyazimu Es Atzman. Meaning you have to be Mazim, the Gufa Edim, rather than the Gufa Edus, otherwise that's Akasha. And that's how most of Rishonim interpret. And it works particularly well, according to the Ramban al Torah, right, that's what makes Hazama unique anyway, because it's Harag Temes HaNefesh, Chilal Temes HaShabbos. It's the equivalent of Edus al Anidon, etc. However, there's a different interpretation in the sugya. We never talk about Hazama extensively, we like to quote it. That's the view of Rav Haigon, also quoted by Rabbeinu Chananel, who has an amazing pshat, who says that Ad Sheyazimus Atzman means that in the end of the day, for Hazama to be effective, the Edim Zomimim have to admit that they were lying. Once they admit that, so then they're Psulim, and not only that, but Basisam Lokashazam Lassal Sahib. Now, of course, that Shita highlights the Mai Chazis the Samka Sahai, Smoka Hai issue. In other words, it's really true that, never mind, you know, according to Rava, that Eid Zomim Mikanol Habo Nisal Natla Mafreya. But apparently, even according to Abaye, who we Paskin like, and even according to Rava, this is, you know, well beyond the normal Kiddush. The idea is, in Achanami, it's Trey or Trey, in a real sense, or we treat it as Trey or Trey, my Chaz de Samchis, and therefore you need the Hodah of the Eidim themselves to trigger the Hazam. It also, of course, makes very difficult the reading of that Gemara in Babakama and Sanhedrin, meaning, what do you mean, Chiddushu ve'en lecha bo'al l'chidusho? Right? There's still a Chiddush, in the sense that normally you would say, in a Meis Matzah Rasha, or other such things. I'm sorry?
If you had a similar case with a Pasha, the one word at all, meaning if you did, if the first cat casting agent came in and said that it said a certain agent, the second cast was for Nachishon,
right?
Then even if they were trying to demote him to the second cast, it would be.
Okay, I'm just saying the language, Inochanami, and this I say in the Mesa Matarash and some of the other things, I mean, it breaks many rules so that you could still explain the Gemara. Having said that, I still think it's fair to say that the phrase, my chaz de samkas hai, smoke hai, as the outraged, you know, response to, you know, to the dinim of Hazama is attenuated, you know, considerably if you take this from Haigon, Rabbein Ochanan's view, because, you know, we do know. Or we accept, there's a reason, there's good reason to accept who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. Even if it breaks the normal rules of Akasha, you lose a lot of the exclamation points in that, because you basically are saying that it is Trey or Trey. But, anyways, so once that is true, so then we come to a second question. Again, I don't know for a fact that this is so, but this is a reasonable explanation why, I mean, there could be a case of Azama, which is still Trey or Trey, basically, which is what we're talking about. Then the question is that significant to the application of Zilus of the Medina? Because from a certain point of view, does it make things better or worse? And I think is an open question. On the one hand, again, applying a Ramban type approach to the situation, right, there's more reason to believe the second cut than the first cut because they're being made about the Gavra Edim and their act of Sheker. And to say Zilusa de Beidina, even in such a situation, is a bigger chiddush. On the other hand, this is Ariel's suggestion, is the other hand, that, well, in a real sense, what you're left with is a kind of akasha, but without the sting of a real akasha, because you have akasha in the sense that you don't have a full azama in terms of the neimanus, but you also have a situation in which you don't have the edim shniim denying that what the Edim Rishonim say is true. I mean, for all they know, right, she really is a Pnuya. There really is Misa Sabal. They're just saying, you know, you can't know because, you know, Imanu Aisa. So you don't know whether there was a Gerishon, and you don't know whether there was a Misa, but we don't know that there wasn't one either. So is it possible that only in circumstances like that we would say, Lizilusa de Beidina Chayshina? Maybe. I'm just saying it could be explained either way. Either way, Rabbeinu Gershom's Shita is something which should be known and should be considered. Finally, one more point just on this part of it, and then I'll take Ephraim and anybody else's interim questions. And that is going back to the din of Rab Nasan, which we'll get back to again but in a minute, but just on the Kabbalah Seder's part of it. Again, the Gemara had this, we already raised the question, the Gemara has this really interesting hechatimtzi, right? You have a kol, then you have an eidachod, then you have shnei edim against the eidachod, supporting the kol again, and then you have another eidachod, and the Gemara says that maybe instead of the argument being about Zilusa de Beidina, the argument is about Rab Nasan, whether you can be mitzarev, two eidachods who come, you know, and are made, you know, not bevas achas. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So the Rishonim all ask the question, you know, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva, at least the Chachmei Sfarad all ask the question, why do we need, if the Machlokas is about Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, why do we need such a peculiar case? Right? Why not to say that the case was, two Edim came and were made that the Kohen is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and then an Eid Echad showed up in court in Adar, and was made that he's a kosher v'yashar, right? And then another Eid Echad came in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and was, you know, corroborated the words of the previous Eid Echad. So you have two Eidim, and then you have Eid Echad, and Eid Echad, you have, you know, two Eidim not being made bevasachas in their Maisa Haggadah. Why do you need Eid Echad, two Eidim, Eid Echad? Why not to say Eidim, Eid Echad, Eid Echad? That's a simpler case. So the Ramban, again, tries to answer in a more technical way, just understanding or reading the words of the Gemara. The Rajva and the Ritva make the Ha'ara that there is more of a Chiddush in the case that we have than in that other alternative case. But the Rajva goes in one direction, and then the Ritva suggests also possibly the opposite. He suggests both, actually. Anybody see that just very quickly? Yeah, Sam, go ahead.
The Ritzel suggests that the fish within Rav Nosson, in case of Echad Shnayim Echad, is that you might say that there's a bittul on the first, there's no trivial tzira. Meaning, if you had a case of Shnayim and Echad V'Echad,
right,
there was no Hakasha and Echad V'Echad from the beginning, so there would be a tzira. At the same time,
well, there is a Hakasha, but it's not.
I mean, as opposed to the case of the Gemara, if it would be a case of Shnayim Echad V'Echad, which they asked in the question,
right,
then there's no bittul on the first eight Echad by the Shnayim in the middle.
You have Shtayim, then you have Eid Echad, then you have Eid Echad. So the point is that the first Eid Echad who comes, he is against two Eidim, but...
But in the sense that...
It's the beginning of the comeback, we'll call it.
Is not interrupted by Pitzel in the middle.
Excellent. So the point is that that's the suggestion of the Ritva. The Ritva says, listen, if you have an Eid Echad, and then you have Shnayim, so once the Shnayim come, the Eid Echad is destroyed. He's been savaged. Right? Because ain edus eid echad b'makom shnayim. So now when the other eid echad comes, what are you trying to do? You're trying to rehabilitate him. He even uses the expression, what expression, Sam? Excellent. Chozer v'ne'er. Reuben, very good. So that's a Yoredei expression, meaning he's been destroyed already. Right? Can he make a comeback? That's the chiddush of Rav Nosson in this case. That even though he's been completely discredited, right, he could be chozer v'ne'er based on a second, based on a compatriot second aid. That's the Ritva. Kamash Malad, it's the same. One might have been mechalik. That's an amazing idea. One really might have been mechalik. I mean, it matters in which order the Eid Echad, if Eid Echad, Shtayim, and then Eid Echad, that won't work for Rav Nosson, only Shtayim, Eid Echad. It's an amazing Havamina. Now the Rajba, anybody see the Rajba? Rafi, you saw it? Moshe? Daniel? Rajba? No, people, everybody boycotted the Rajba. Wow, Sammy.
That the other side, that the Rabbana, you might have thought that
it's a Kiddush for the Rabbana, not for Abnas. You have an Eid Echad, you're Makabal, because Shnayim, Shalom al Yisrael, basically, we accepted him. Say that again?
Once the Eid Echad is accepted against the first
call,
so then maybe you won't say you can't be Mitzarev in the second Eid because you're already accepted the visa.
You can't be Mitzarev to the second Eid?
You won't say you can't be Mitzarev.
You won't say you can't. So why say it and why say double negatives?
Okay. You can't be Mitzarev in the second Eid because you're already accepted
the visa. Even the Chachamim would allow the Tziruf to the second Eid because this guy was Niskabel Kishnai made him. And the language of the Rajba, anybody have it? Or Jesse, you have it there? The language in both actually just highlights what theme? Chaya. So what I think both of the I think they're both interesting shitas. I think it's the interesting that the Ramban avoided, you know, both answers. I think the Ramban's, you know, shikul was very simple. You know, we hold by Rav Nosson. We don't hold by Rav Nosson. The order is irrelevant. But I think what these two shitas are based on, the Rajba's Koach HaChachamim, Chiddush of HaChachamim, and the Ritva's Chiddush for Rav Nosson, is once again based on the idea of Kabbalah Seidus. The idea that the order, and it's a slight echo to our idea of Hora, of course, as well. Meaning, what's the idea of the Rajba? Once you're Mekabel Echad Kishnayim, right, so that, it's the opposite of the Rajba, right? That you don't need Chozer v'Ne'or, really. Or, on the contrary, Chozer v'Ne'or is a strength. The point is, all you're really saying when you have the other Eid Echad is, let's go back to the original Psak, the original Kabbalah, which was Kishnayim at the time. But again, if you look at the forces themselves, you know, in both cases you have, you know, two straggling, you know, eid echads against a kad of eidim. Who really cares about the order? But if you look at all of this, all the process and Kabbalah Seidus and the Horah, right? And it matters even once we have all the information. That's the Chiddush of both the Rajba and the Ritva. It might have. Well, I don't want to exaggerate. It might have. Right? And that's what the Ritva is saying in the other direction. The Ritva is saying, you know, maybe there's no Choser V'Neor. This guy's brand. He has a Shem Eid Mukhash, let's say. Bishneid. He came to Zayid Echad. We gave him Kishnayim. Right? And then it turns out, you know, how wrong we were. You know, Wheel Shnai made him came, and he's Kalesa Gamor. Right? So this guy who's been completely discredited, he's a zero. He's not even an Echad anymore. Now he's going to hook up with an Echad. Right? But what are you talking about? Right? It's all, now we have new information. So there's two and there's two. If you hold like a Nasan, you don't need the Dibur Bavasachas. So it's a Chiddush, both, it's a Chiddush for the Rabbanan, who say that, but you need a kat, you need one Maisa Haggadah. It's an amazing chiddush for the Rabbanan to be able to say that the Kabbalah of Echad Kishnayim, you know, will be able to be Mitzarev to an Eid Echad, even though they hold that Maisa Haggadah Bekarachas is a prerequisite for Eidos. It's an amazing chiddush for Rav Nosson to say that you don't need Siruf in the Maisa Haggadah, right, but Kabbalah, which was completely destroyed, you know, can't be Chozer V'Neor. Both amazing chidushim. The question is how seriously you take. But I mean, according to the Rajba and the Ritva, these are Havaminas of the Gemara. What they highlight is, again, this idea of interim process, and in particular, the idea of Kabbalas Eidus in Bezdin, and how that can, you know, transcend the power of the Eid itself. Issues that we've been discussing. Before I go on to the next point, you had a question?
Just two quick things. First of all, to add on to the list of differences between Hora and Bitsua,
yeah.
There's a focus between Rashi and the Baal Hamor in the Sugya of Rai Achruna. The Gemara says that you needed two psachim, one like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, one against the Chachamim.
Okay.
So the Baal Hamor said, and the Gemara says one is for Lechatchila, one is for Dieved. Baal Mar explains that lechatchila means you would have thought it's only if you didn't hand over the money, but if you handed over the money, we pass on like the chachamim that you can't bring another raya, kamash vola, that even
right.
If you already handed over the money, you can we still pass in like the chachamim.
Okay, very good. Again, I don't want to go into the problem of that sugya, but 100%. I mean, all the what else?
The other point is that just in general, there this is like a very small subcategory of zivusa de betina because there's a mitzvah to have Mura Dayanim, and that manifests itself in many other ways.
Right.
So this, you know, the question of reversing a Psak Halacha is maybe more an application, more a matter of how broadly to expand the
Mura Dayan?
Right.
But again, that goes to the, that may very well be, again, I don't want to go further into that either at the moment, but that has to do with the, you know, the issue that we started off with. Mainly, is this about Psak, or is it about, you know, the Liglug and the perception and the role of Dayanim in the community, which is about Mora Dayan, and et cetera. It very well may be that that's what it's about. Yeah?
In the Ramban, it appears that even in the Ramban,
yeah.
It appears that even in the Ramban, it requires some sort of...
Okay, but it sounds like that's because... No, but that's not a Shir in the Hora. It sounds like if there's a Hora... So you can rely on that Horah even after the fact. Not that the later Bitsua, because once there's a Bitsua after the second Kat comes, it's hard to say that that's the precondition for the Horah. Meaning, of course, what they're saying is the Bezin made a Horah. Bezin themselves are horrified. Right, because now it turns out that their horo is based on insufficient evidence, which they could not have known, but that's what happened, right? So now they don't want people to act on the basis of that horo, and therefore lechatchila you shouldn't get married. But when you do get married, nonetheless, I don't think in the Rabban, unless you have the lashon that shows otherwise, but my reading of the Rabban was not that now that's the later bitsua is part of the horo. But there was a hora. Bezin doesn't want you to act on this hora, so you shouldn't. B'dievet, if you do, since there was a hora, namely the theoretical hora itself, that's enough.
But he said that if you would come back
We would say, don't do it. What do you mean mitam chazaka? Because she's a cheska seish
ish. But if she does do it, then that removes the chazaka.
It removes a chazaka, or it's based on the hora? Because it's based on the hora.
Right, because it's based on the hora, then that removes the chazaka.
You know, I'll look at it again. I'm not sure. To me, I don't think that proves the point necessarily. I'll look at the language again. But it's an interesting question. Shai is raising an interesting question. Whether the chachamim or Menachem Rabbi Yossi are also based on Bitsua, just Bitsua after the further evidence. I'm sorry, Yoshua. I apologize. If the, you know, it's your Chavrus is right. Again, is the implementation after the fact, even though they don't want you to listen because of the chazakah, so is that still constitute part of the, is that still a sine qua non for the hora? Or is that just, can you act upon the hora, you know, b'makom chazaka? I'm not sure. I'll look at it again. It's very possible. Good. Next. Let's talk a little bit more, just for a few minutes, about the tray issues of the sugya. And then we'll finish up with the Kol Kohen and Eidechot parts of the sugya. Very quickly. We've discussed many issues on the Treyutrei part. Treyutrei Sveika Daraisa, Sveika Drabanan. Is it about Ki'isa Kalesa? Is it about Trey Kameya? Is it about an unsolvable Safek? That we discussed. If you hold Treyutrei Sveika Drabanan, is it only Mukzakus or even Ruba de Lesa Kaman or Migus or other such things? We've discussed that. What kind of chazakas, the chazaka of parents to children, and the differences of Rashi and Yanai, the difference possibly between the application to kahuna and to nisuin and other things. These are all the issues that we have talked about, as well as what we added Sunday when we talked about the Rabban, namely the other chilukim that Rishonim make, the Rivav, of course, and Tosas and Ksuvas, and the Rabban's two other possibilities. Right, one suggestion between Motzi Mechavrala Varaya and the other Muxakos, the Muxakos of Isurim, and the Rabban's own suggestion based on, again, Hora and Zilusa de Beidina. So these are some of the issues that we've discussed. But I want to add just several points. A few points. Number one, Rashi and Ksuvis that we talked about on Sunday. Again, Rashi and Ksuvis is bothered by the problem in our Gemara, the Gemara there in Ksuvis 2, the parallel Gemara. Why don't you say Treyu Trey? Right? You have even if you hold like Rav Nasan, so you have Treyu Trey, but you still have Kol. Right? Keneged Chazaka. Keneged the Chazaka of the father being a Kohen, presumably anyway. And if that's the case, you should say the equivalent of Treyu Trey. Sveika Drabanan, and should be following the call. I mean, the Trey and Trey should cancel each other out by and large, and then you should be left with Psul and not with Heksha. So, again, Rashi's answer to that question is, as we discussed, that the Eid Echad, right, neutralizes the Chazaka. Good. I mean, so neutralizes the call. So the Ran asked the question in Ksuvis, how come Rashi didn't just say that the Cheskas Ha'av is Koveya? Right, that would have been an easier answer. It wouldn't have subjected Rashi to the Ramban and other Rishonim's critique, which is, once it's Treyu Trey on the Eidus level, there's also Treyu Trey to negate the Mukzakos Keneged HaKol of the Eid Echad, right? And that we talked about already. So Ran there suggests that Rashi's Lishitaso. That Rashi's Lishitaso about Yanai Amelach. That Rashi and Ksuvis, in other words, Kafam and Beis, is Lishitaso of Rashi and Samachayim and Beis in Kiddusha. There, Rashi holds that the chazaka of the father doesn't help the child. So here, too, the chazaka of the father doesn't help the child. The truth is, that's an interesting perspective. One of the objections that Tosas raised against Rashi of Yanai HaMelech is from our sugya, the parallel and the parallel sugya in Ksuvas. Like one of the questions that Tosas here, Alatar, asks is, what do you mean the chazak of a parent doesn't help a child? You see from our sugya that it does. That's what our sugya says. But that's not what Rashi says, or how Rashi reads in Ksuvas, Chavav Mudbeis. So the Ran's Ha'ara is an important Ha'ara, except that it's not so simple. And that in two senses. Number one, when we explained the Rashi of Yanei HaMelech, we suggested the possibility that, you know, we should really zero in on Rashi's own language in Kedushin, and that one of the points is that the fact that, you know, Mother Yanai, you know, was no longer living. So there was no Kabbalah Sedus about Mother Yanai, and as such, you know, the Din Torah begins only with regard to Yanai himself, and from that point of view, you know, her chazaka, his chazaka, that could be two different things from a hachra point of view, at least. But had Mother Yanai been on the table, had she been an issue as well, the idea that we would solve the problem differently for the mother than we would for the child, that's not such a davar pashut. And in the case here, as far as we know, would it make a difference whether the father is alive or the father is not alive? At least we don't know that Rashi, you know, thinks that that's an issue here. That's number one. On the other hand, in the other direction, it should be noted that the chazaka of the father Kohen, this may be another excellence, maybe the reason that Rashi didn't give that answer is not because of Yanei HaMelech. The conditions of Yanei HaMelech don't exist in father Kohen. Right? I should say father Kohen. I mean, Jonathan Kohen. Yeah. Those conditions don't exist. But we have another problem, and that is that the father's chazaka is less relevant here than the mother's chazaka would have been in the case of Yanei HaMelech. In the case of Yanei HaMelech, the issue of the mother's status, right, is directly consequential to Yanai's status. Now, if the mother was, the question is whether the mother was nitmas or not in the process of being a shivuya, and that's what determines whether or not we believe Yanai, you know, to have proper yichus or not. But in the case of the Kohen, all we're establishing is that he was his father was a Kohen, that he was born into the Shevet Kahuna. Whether or not the child is a ben grusha or ben chalutza, namely, did his father marry a grusha or a chalutza, we don't know that at all. So even as it may be true that the Yanei HaMelech, you know, limitation doesn't apply for Rashi, there's another more basic problem. Now the truth is that the Yad Ramah in our sugya says that the reason that a kol, how could a kol in the case of Kahuna be effective against the Chazaka to begin with? Right? I mean, why don't we just dismiss the kol? Kol says he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Right? So, but there's a chazaka connect. Which is stronger, a chazaka or a kol? So the Yad Ramah says, we'll read it inside in just a second. The Yad Ramah says, because this particular chazaka is a problematic chazaka, because it's conceivable that the father's a Kohen, and it's still conceivable that the child is a ben grusha ben chalutza. If the father wasn't a Kohen, then we wouldn't be discussing whether the child is a ben grusha ben chalutza. That's true. But the father's status does not solve the son's problem completely. Therefore, says the Yad Ramah, in this case, a kol can be effective even keneged chazaka. Now, once that's true, we understand Rashi, and the truth is the Ritva himself raises this question in our sugya, and on some of the Rishonim doing Ksuvos and Kiddushin as well. Right, the Ritva asks the question. Ritva quotes Rashi in Ksuvos, rejects it based, you know, quoting the words of the Ramban without attributing them here, but basically the same question. How can you say that this is a mechzakus about the child that is created by the Eid Echad when the Eid Echad is Nistar al Yedei Trei U'Trei? So the Ritva says, no, you're right, that's true, that's not the source. The source is the Cheskas Ha'av. Says the Ritva, if there is a Cheskas Ha'av here, how does that help you with the Ben? It's conceivable that the father's a Kohen and the child. Okay, I'll put the Ritva all the way in the end here. is a ben grusha ben chalutza. Second. Quotes Rashi in Ksuvis, Veina Nachon, the Osa Chazalkan is Batla Kishahukhash Osa Ha'ed. Then he has a possibility, Leikal Meimar, that there are five Eidim here. Quite a wild idea. And then he says, finally, B'chiha Adinu de Mahani Cheskasa'av, Kichazakahu de Lohava Avar Venasiv, de Lohava Beno Bnei Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So the Ritva here reformulates the Chazaka. Simple pshat in the Gemara is that the chazaka, or if there is a chazaka, the way Tosus understands the chazaka, is that it's a cheskes kashrus, cheskes kahuna of the father. But that doesn't help you, because for all we know, you went off and married a ben grusha, he married a grusha, and his child is still a ben grusha ben chalutza. What does it help you? So the Ritva says the real chazaka is that the father didn't do an aveira to marry a grusha or a chalutza, dilahev b'no ben grusha ben chalutza. That's a very big kiddush. The question is that, does that satisfy the requirements of Trei Utrei Sveika D'Rabbanan, right, in light of everything else that we discussed, right? Let's go back to Rabbi Kineger, the Shev Shmaitza, Ha'ara. Then do we only say Trei Utrei Sveika D'Rabbanan when it comes to the question of Muchzakus, meaning status quo ante, previous status quo? In other words, we say Mukmina Cheskas. So we don't know what happened. We don't know what didn't happen. We just can't initiate change based on Trei Utrei. But Lui Yitzuyar, we're not talking about status quo ante. We're talking about some sort of ruba, the isor, the leisa kamon, some sort of a birur of what might have happened. So that gets caught up in the world of Trei Kameya, right? That's part of the Trei Utrei, right? If Trei are not going to add to the birur, and Mea and Elef and a million are not going to add to the birur of two Edim, then either is Rov. So how do we assess this idea that's exactly what Kiveger and the Shev Shmaitz and all that we're talking about? And what about Migu and so on? So what about this Chazaka? The Chazaka de Lohava Avar V'Nasiv, right, Lohava B'no Ben Grusha Ben Chalutz. It's an interesting question, right? Meaning, on the one hand, you could say it's a kind of Muchzakus, meaning he was at some point he was a kosher kohen and not an avarian, right? On the other hand, what we're really saying is that there's a kind of a rove or a chazaka that he wouldn't do an avera. That's mukzakus? Let me say three things. Is it mukzakus? Mm-hmm. Is it a ruba delesa kaman? Sounds like it. Or is it something else, something called cheskas kashrus? And what is cheskas kashrus? In Mashal Lamada Verdome, again for the Chulin people of a couple of years ago, well, we discussed Rov Mitzui Netzel Shechita Mumchenei. Right, in the debate between the Rishonim, if Efshe Levarer, Tzorech Levarer. And the Shita of the Ra'ah, who says that, you know, it says Rov Mitzui Netzel Shechita Mumchenei, but it means Kol Mitzui Netzel Shechita Mumchenei. So the question is, what does that mean? You know, not true. I mean, there's got to be somebody out there who's not a Mumchen Shechita. I could find you some. Kol? So, right, the Pashtus is, like Rav explained, and I think that's the majority of the way everybody understands it, that when you have a rove, which is particularly strong, and a miyut, which is really ein amatsui, so there's no latest asafek, and we treat that al pidin as kol. But the Beis Halevi had a different take. Beis Halevi has the idea that what we're talking about is a cheskas kashrus, the idea of cheskas kashrus. And we always treat a cheskas kashrus like it's a mukzakus, and like it's a vadai. So I'm wondering, is that what this Ritva is about? Maybe. Yeah.
I think we pointed out once that I think Michael brought up that the Ritva there in is Mahad the opposite way. That only in the case of a single beer, in this exact Chazaka, would you say, we go by the Chazaka, as opposed to in a case where it's just a Chazaka type, we wouldn't use it.
Oh, we talked about that, correct.
Right. This, I think it's this Ritva, no?
It could. I have to check. I don't remember the parallel. So, the Ritva here doesn't say that. I mean, the Ritva here clearly believes that if you had a proper mukzakus, then you certainly would say Trei Utrei Sveika D'Rabbanan. You go about the chazaka. Even to the extent that he goes, Mori Amar D'Lo Chmiru Shom Laso, so in the other cases, Sveika D'Rabbanan B'Davar Sheber V'Bilva. The Ritva in Kiddushin might, I think, does say that. You're right. I mean that sometimes the rove is better than the chazak. Rub the chazak or ruba adin. So maybe only in roves you should say this principle. Misvar, you can understand that too. I'm just saying this ritva here is assuming that muksaka certainly would be sufficient. That doesn't mean that you draw the line. There's no crime to be against Rabbi Kiveger and the Shav Shmaitza, even though you can understand very logically what they're saying. I'm just saying I think there are several ways to explain the ritva's idea. Number one, you should be aware, and I'm suggesting as a possible reason, that Rashi didn't reject this because of Yanei HaMelech. It's not Yanei HaMelech. But it's also not a good chazaka to quote here. If you're based on Mubzakos, because there's no Tartus Sasri between the father's kashrus, his yichus, and the question of Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. Even if the father marries a Grusha v'Chalutza, you know, he might still be a Kohen Oved. So that's not a stira, right? That's very important hara. Now, what do you do once you know that? Well, number one, you can explain why Rashi wasn't interested in this. Nothing to do with Yanei HaMelech. But now the Rishonim who do think, and there is quite a few of them, who think that that is the difference here. So you have to explain them. If you say something like the Ritva, either you're saying, Inochanami, Rubid Lesa, come on, and it's not limited to Muxakos. Maybe what you're adding now, what Michael pointed out then, which was that there's even an argument to say the opposite. You know, that Birurim, in most times, in most situations, that's what we point out, the irony in Rabbi Kiveger, a logical irony, but an irony nonetheless. Namely, normally we think that Birurim are stronger than Machrios. Mavar is stronger than Machria, normally. Here, it gets lost because it's so strong, it's Trei Kameya. Could you argue with that and say, no, that's really Edim Edim. Trei Kameya is limited to Edim. Other Birurim that aren't Edim are dealt with on a separate level. So 100%, you could say that, and then it would be consistent with that Ritva. I don't think you could say that the Ritva here is denying Muxakos would work. That part, I don't think you could say. Or, I'm suggesting a third possibility, and that is this idea of when it's talking about a Ruba Delesa Kaman, about people not doing Averos, not just a poll, sociological poll, even a natural poll, but something having to do with the individual, presuming that someone is not an Avarian, that's an issue of Cheskas Kashrus. And Cheskas Kashrus, not being an Avarian, that might be a kind of Muxakos too, because of the notion of Cheskas Kashrus. That's the idea that I want to suggest here. Okay. Good. Next point. Let's get back to the for a few minutes based on this as well. We had the debate between the Rashbam and Bali Tosis about the relationship between Edechot and Kol. Time's running out. Okay, we're not going to get obviously to Shtar Zaifa, but we are going to get to Shtar Zaifa. We'll start with Shtar Zaifa on Thursday. So really, you know, prepare it well because we want to move quickly through it. The debate between the Rashbam and Bali Tosis regarding the relative strengths of the kol and the eidechad, right? Again, Tosa's view that the kol is a serious posel, and eidechad can't be a posel. It's hard to believe that it can be a machshir. It can only be machshir together with the chazaka. And the Rashbam's view, which is the opposite, that the kol is not so serious. It can only be mechayev of bedika. It's basically can be ma'orer a safek, but not more. And eidechad maybe can't be posel, but maybe it's a negative chazaka or whatever, but an eidechot can be machshir, and it really is machshir. It's not just a combination of eidechot and chazaka. So the question, of course, that arises several things. Number one, Tosis's question, which is, if eidechot alone, keneged chazaka, cannot be posel, and kol can, then kol is stronger than eidechot. And if kol is stronger than eidechot, how can eidechot be machshir or kol? So once again, just to point out, I mean, I'm saying the obvious, but, oh, there you are. Okay. You were just quoted. I'm just stating the obvious, but once again, what we have in Tosis is the linear hierarchy, right? Tosis saying, we want to know what's more powerful, Kol, Eid Echad, Chazaka. Right, we marshal our evidence. How do you tell whether something is more powerful or not? You know, you see, you have two ways. Number one, you can have a head-to-head competition. That'll teach you who's more powerful. Or you can have a litmus test. You have A, against C. You have B against C. If A fares better against C than B does, then A is stronger than B, and then A is going to beat B as well. That's the argument of Tosfos. And as we've seen, that's a very it's always a very logical argument. I'm sure in 90% of the world cases, that's probably true. I'm probably exaggerating. Probably not true in 90% of the cases. But there are enough cases where it's not true and where the dynamic is much more complicated, much more complex. And this is another example of it. The point is, Eid Echad, and I think it's a Davar Pashut. I think this is how people explained it. I haven't seen it explicitly, but I think it's a Davar Pashut. Eid Echad belongs to the world of Birur. Right? And it belongs to the world of Eidim. Again, what the status of Eid Echad exactly is, we'll still have to get to in Eid Echad B'Shvua, but we already understand, basically, that Eid Echad belongs to, Komokom Sheshtayim, Mechayiv Noso Mamon, Eid Echad Mechayiv Shvua, even Eid Echad B'Yisurim, that was, again, something we talked about last year a lot, and a little bit this year, when we talked about Amasla and other things. So, if we're not talking about Eidus, we're talking about Nemanus. But the idea of Nemanus is an absolute. Mostly. Right? Again, there's a way to say that the discrepancy between Isurim and Mamon, Eidus and Nemanus, is that Eid Echad works only in Betoris, a kind of a Safek, but mostly we don't, that's not an attractive thing to say, it's not an appealing thing to say. Mostly we would want to say that whenever Eid Echad works, even when it only works in Isurim, it works as Nemanus. The idea of Kol is never Neman. Kol's a rumor. But what a rumor does, and this is so true, right? Sometimes something that isn't necessarily either true or false is just as damaging. Sometimes it's more damaging, right? It eats away at the truth, right? It turns a suffix into a lethal, weapon. That's what a call is. And the point is that as a posel, a call can be posel. Right? Or at least can demand a bedika. Let's answer the Rashbam from within the Rashbam. Right, the Rashbam basically says a kol is not neman. You can't say zilusa de bedina on a kol, right? Because the harada based on a kol, the impact can be worse. But kol can be less neman than Eid Echad. But Eid Echad never creates a safek. Either you take the Eid Echad or you don't take the Eid Echad. You believe him or you don't believe him. You believe him or you dismiss him. But a kol, right, has the power to create a safek and to create the demand for a bedika. So, in Achanavi, a kol has the effect of being posel, not b'toras psul, but b'toras safek, b'toras the requirement of bedika. An Eid Echad is either going to be machshir or it's going to be posel. But to be posel, it has to be shnayim eidim. And from that point of view, an Eid Echad can negate a kol because an Eid Echad is stronger than a kol. So when we say that an Eid Echad is not posel in kahuna, but it's machshir, right? And kol is posel, and yet Eid Echad is machshir. The answer for the Rashbam is the Eid Echad is basically mevarer the kol. It can't be posel because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't have that suffix status. It doesn't ever require a bedika. It's all or nothing. But it can negate the suffix that is created by a kol. So I think that's the answer once again, parallel to some of the other examples that we saw. Not everybody is so happy with this idea, and therefore they really struggle with the problem why Eid Echad cannot be posel in kahuna. So the Yad Ramah al-Atar quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. We mentioned the Gemara already. The Gemara in Kedushin in Gimel Beis, which actually has two deos, whether or not when we say Eid Echad cannot be posel, that's only keneged chazaka or even in the absence of chazaka. Maybe Eid Echad in kahuna can be posel as long as it's not keneged chazaka. That's one day in the Gemara. The Yad Ramah here in Simen Mem Dalid paskins that way. I'm sorry, did I say Mem Dalid? Yeah. Correct. Memdal. Edim. I take it back. Memhei. The Ramah says, based on the Gemara in Kedushin, that if there's no chazaka that we really paskin, it doesn't seem that we paskin like that Gemara. I think the Ramah is a chiddush. The Ramah doesn't seem to paskin like that Gemara at all. The makom chazaka, eid echa doesn't work to be posel, even though, again, the irony is, a kol keneged the chazaka will be effective, and eid echa will be able to neutralize the kol. So once again, if you were, you know, doing this linear, you know, litmus test, you'd have a problem. As we've explained it, it's not such a difficult problem at all. There's another possible explanation for some of these discrepancies, and that is based on, again, something we talked about last year as well, the difference between being mekel and machmir in levels of nemanis. There's good reason to think that you could be mechalek in either direction. That you can be mechalek l'chumra to say that something which isn't machshir is nonetheless posel, because sveka daraisa l'chumra, right? You should be machmir misafek. Right? There's good reason to say that. But Dafka, the Bali Tosis, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Simon Kuchav Zayin, Paskin's Tosis, when it comes to Edecha Nem Bisurim, says the opposite. That when it comes to being matir, we say Edecha Nem Bisurim. When it comes to being posel or oser, we say you really need Shnayim. That has to do with the question, of, again, of the extension of perhaps of Davar Shebe'erba, as we talked about last year, that whenever you try to be posel something, you're trying to establish a status. And whenever you're being machshir, you're just trying to identify that something, you know, already exists. Now why that should be so, again, is something I'm not prepared to go into right now. We talked about it then. But I think that also could explain our sugya, why it is an Eid Echad. If you don't want to say that Eid Echad is just able to neutralize the kol and nothing more, but you want to say Eid Echad can really be machshir, even though it can't be posel in kahuna, that would be an approach to take, especially in light of the Rambam's view that kahuna may be an area which, at least in theory, is an extension of Davar Shebe'erva, which requires Shnayim. Again, the Rambam actually says it in the other way, to establish a Kohen Miuchas, but in theory one could have said this idea. There's a third possible way also, based on Shita Mekubetzes, that we mentioned the other day, the Gilyon, but it's just not clear 100% to me what the circumstances that he describes are. But the Shittim Kubetzes, according to the Ritzva, Gilyon Atosis Ritzva, applies the din of Ula to Kahuna. And if you have an Eid Echad who comes, and then another Eid Echad who comes, Bezeh Achar Zeh, you'll apply the rule of Komokom She'en Mina Torah Eid Echad Arekan Shnai. Again, going back to last year, there's a major debate among the Rishonim, in Yavamos and Krisus and other places, whether the rule of Eid Echad Nemam Bisurim is applied, whether Eid Echad Nem Bisurim applies to Ula. The Ula's din, the Kol Mokom Shemina Torah Eid Echad, Arei Kan Shnayim, which we talked about a little bit on Sunday, we know it in the case of Eid Echad B'Misa Sabal, Egla Rufa, and Sota. The Ritva, in the beginning of Yavamos, says that's the only cases to which it applies. There is a minority view in the Rishonim that say no. Whenever Eid Echad is Nemam Bisurim, we have this idea. And again, maybe it has to do with the impact of Kabbalah Seidus in various Tchumim, or is it really din in the Koach of Eid Echad, where you really need Shnayim and it can actually accomplish Shnayim. But either way, the Shittim Kubetzes here, in the name of the Ritzvah, quotes this idea with regard to Kahuna as well. Is it because he's trying to explain that when you have an Eid Echad who's Machshir, then you have an Eid Echad who is Posel, that you know, the reason that you ignore one in light of the other is because of Ula? I'm not sure. What would happen if you had it in the other direction? Obviously, that would be the problem. Either way, this is a thorny issue. On the relationship between Kol and Chazaka, one final point, and that is the Ramah, the other point in the Ramah. The Ramah in Sim Nevav has two deos. He's bothered by the question, how can Kol beat out a Chazaka? Right? That's, as I mentioned before, where he makes the Ha'ara. It's true, it's Kol against a Chazaka, and you'd think chazaka would be superior, but it's not much of a chazaka, right? It's the chazaka of the father being a kohen, which doesn't preclude the son being a ben chutza or a ben grush or ben chalutza. So he says, you know, Konami, this call can overcome a chazaka. Even though, again, Eid Echad will be able to overcome the call, notwithstanding the weakness of the chazaka. But then the Rama has a second day, where he says it maybe depends on our knowledge of this chazaka at what point in time. And that, I think, is a very big chiddush. It's like, if you can get that, oh, that's part of the... We don't have the Rama originally, right? It's more difficult to find. Okay. If you can get it, it's just worth... The Rama has a very radical suggestion that the only time kol is effective against the chazaka is if the chazaka is known after the kol. But if the kol, right, is follows the chazaka, then even in kahuna you'll ignore it. And once again, the question of order theoretically should make no difference. We're talking about forces, right? Who's stronger, who's weaker? Why should we care what we know, when we know? As long as we know everything at one point and we're acting upon the accumulated, you know, second stage of information, why do we care? You have it there? Nehem Estabra, first he starts off the other way. Right? That's what I was referring to before. Because it's not much of a chazaka. I guess. So this is another big chiddush, that the order of kol and chazaka will determine which one is koveya, and even with respect to trey or trey, and that's a fifth, I don't know what number we're up to, a possible a solution to some of the stiras for the Rama, some of the stiras in trey or trey, svekin rabbanon. You know, trey or trey, svekin rabbanon, mukmina naches kase, but not if a kol comes before the chazaka. Again, the order, this is shades of the rivav, a little bit. Except in the rivav, it's the order of the trey and the trey, so maybe even a bigger chiddush. Right here, it's the order of the kol and the chazaka. That's a very big chiddush as well. Okay. Before we get to that, two more points very quickly. I'm just going to finish off. So having brought that up again, I mean, the trey trey, svekin rabbanon, so why don't we go basar kol, or do we go basar kol, do we go basar chazaka? How can we go basar chazaka if the kol beat the chazaka? And now the Eid Echad, who helped us, you know, get through that an interim stage, he's been you know, cancelled out by the Trey or Trey too. So we should be left with Trey and Chazaka, and, you know, I'm sorry, Kol and Chazaka, and Kol wins. So the Rama has a solution, and it's a very big Kiddush, and it's exported to other Trey or Trey issues. Great. But let's get back to our question, this question. How do other Rishonim answer this question? So actually the Rama himself answers the question differently earlier in Siman Mem Daled, if you still have it up there. And the Tosa Rosh in Shitva Gubetzes says the same thing. What they say is, really, you should say, Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan and Mukminan Akola. Right? Because, again, the kol beats out the chazaka. So, why don't you say that? So the Ramah came up with a chiddush, sort of the rush, independently, apparently, and that is that the kol was generated by the Edim, who say that the Kohen is possible. You have it there? Mem Dalet. This is the one you had on just now is Mem Vav. The previous one is Mem Dalet.
It's a long piece.
What?
It's a long piece.
Oh, you know, I'll just get the line. I have it here somewhere. One second. And Simon Mem Dalet. No, why am I in the Tosfos Read? Here. Oh, maybe it's not Mem Dalet. Oh, it is. I see. I did one at home. I don't have it here. Yeah, it's a long piece, right? Again. Found it or not? What? Tosfos in the sheet of Gubetzis. Oh, you have it in the back of your Gemara. It's the same. Yeah, go ahead. Read the line. Same idea. Right. Now, it doesn't have to be that way, as we know, but that they're being poshet that it is that way. So that's the Arama and the Tosa Rosh, 100%. So that is interesting. I mean, the Hechatimtzi is a Hechatimtzi. The implication, what's really important about it is the implication, which is that in theory, if you have Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan, again, going back to the question, Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan, fine, what about Migu? What about Mukmina Nechaz Kaso? What about Akaskas Kashrus? What about Aruba Delesa Kaman? Right? This is a whole massive topic. Right? What about the order of the Edim? What about the order of the Kol and the order of the Chazaka? What about, you know, Cheskas Mamon as opposed to Isurim? You know, what about, you know, how usable the Chazaka is? You know, from all these different answers. So what they're saying is, in theory, in principle, Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan, a Kol would win. That's amazing. A call? Pretty small. The call of Balitosis, maybe. Even the call of the Rashbam? Meaning, a call which you view as a force, like Tosis does in the Sugya. Even a call that's just a suffix that is Mechayev Bedika? B'mokom Trei Utrei. So I think one could have answered the question and said, a call is a mosquito. Meaning, b'mokom Trei Utrei, you can't even consider a call. It's not mukzakus, it's not mukmin naches kaso. Right? It doesn't have the charm of a robe which is mevarer either. So it's amazing that the Ramah thinks, no, again, if you say cancel everything, if you say Trei Utrei Kaman Delesa, again, Rabbi Yonah, I should also mention in Shid Mugavet says that explicitly. We talked about the Ksos and Shach and the Ran and Bam Metzia with Eidechot, Shneidim. In Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan, in the Chetugin Chavam Beis, Shid Mugavet says, some of the Rishonim explicitly say that Trei Utrei Sveka Drabanan is based on not just a paralysis, you know, equal balance, but Kalesa. If you say Kalesa, then in Achanami. But if you say Ki'isa, right? So Kol would be enough. The Ramaz basically and the Rosh are saying yes. I'm just wondering, as I said, is it the Kol of the Rashbam even? The Chiyu Bedika would be enough? The Safek? Or only the Kol, which is a force, according to Tosis' understanding of the Sukkah? But one could have argued for either one, either to be Michalik or to say about both, neither of them are enough or independent enough to be Kobeya They're just, you disregard them, Mabokum Treyu Trey. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that exactly, but he says something close to it. Rabbeinu Yonah here in Lamed Beis Amud Aleph also asks the question. And what he basically says is, he says it differently, a little differently, that kol b'mokom treyu trey doesn't work, mashen ken mukzakos. But he doesn't say because it's only safek or because it's a flea or a mosquito, right? What he says is, kol also operates on the birur level, and therefore it's part of trey kameya. That's a kiddush too. We don't have Rabbeinu Yonah, right? What?
I think Rashi says it
also. He does? He says Trey Kameh about the call? What? Yeah, I'm not sure what the Rama means about.
He may mean in the opposite direction.
Right. Right. That's what I'm not. But the Rabbeinu Yonah, Al Atar, somebody can find it. Oh, you do have Rabbeinu Yonah? Ah, Meshita. Okay. Very good. There's, I think, a bad gersa here. I also saw the Shidduch Abetzis earlier. The Ili Yavo, Shnaim Acherim L'Sayei, L'Ein L'Shnaim Sheposim L'Sam, Ilo Hachi, Machshir L'Sam, the Trey Kamei, Umeya Ketrey. Aval Chazaka Badai M'Sayas L'Eidus, Afal Pi Shein Shnei Edim Acherim M'Sayim L'Hem, Mo'ilim Klum, Shein Koa Chazaka. What it says in the real Rabbeinu Yonah, this is just a bad girsa on the Shulchan Aruch says. It should say she'ein koach chazaka yotze mitoras edus or something like that. I wrote it down. She'ein mash'ein chazaka mikoach edus or mitoras edus. This is just I also saw it here. Just there's something meshuba. You changed it? Good for you. Okay. Well, you've been Mizakis Arabin for thousands of years now. Forward. They'll be thanking you. No, I didn't just change it on. I knew it was wrong when I saw it, but then I checked in the real Rabbeinu Yonah. In the real Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, Mitoras, Ein Chazaka, if somebody can find it, you'll see that. That's not making up Girsos for the fun of it. Okay. So that, of course, is a very interesting idea. That's the opposite. That's what I was saying a minute ago was, it's too insignificant, it's too inconsequential. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, no, it's Trey Kameh, it's like the Rabbi Kiveger's Birur, Mavarir, Rove. Chazakus Muxakus. It's just important to have a Rishon to say it that way also. But that's not what the Ramah says at all. The Ramah is saying that in theory, and again, Lahalacha, I mean, the Ramah and the Rosh are being poshet that the rumor came from the other Edom. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. It could be this Trey or Trey, and there's a rumor that started from some other quarters, theoretically. So, okay. That's important as well. Finally, just a final word about one other issue, and that is Rav Nassan. So, again, it's not the time to go into Rav Nassan, although it's an important topic. Maybe when we talk about Daskar Baba, we'll try to get back to it, because that's an issue. But two things to say about Rav Nassan. We already mentioned in another context the Nota Buta's question, which is if you hold like Rav Nassan that you can split the Haggadah of the two Eid Echads, so it should, you should say it's Eidah Shetiyachal Azima, right? Because just like the Gemara says about Osral Bala Banu, right? You can always an Eid Echad comes and says, I didn't mean to, cause her to be executed. I just wanted to make a little mischief, in the marriage, a little trouble, instigate a little bit, So the Gemara thinks that's a problem in Eidah Shetiyachal Azima. So that's an Ordibutus question. Let the guy come to court and say, if there's Hazama, lo lechayev mamon basi, not in this case of kahuna necessarily, but lo lechayev mamon basi, lechayev shvua basi. So it should be Eidah Shetiyachal Azima. So I mentioned that the Beis Halevi discusses this question. Beis Halevi's answer is, what are you talking about? Eid Echad in the Chi of Shvua is also a Chi of Mamo. Just that it's a Ptur Shvua. So what do you mean, Basi L'Chayiv Shvua? Basa L'Chayiv Mamon. Just that the Torah gave him an out of Shvua. That's part of the Naskar Rababa issue. How do we really understand the Koach of Eid Echad to be M'Chayiv Shvua? Is that a Ptur Shvua or is it a Chi of Shvua? and is a chiyuv shua proxy for a chiyuv mamon, etc. The that's the Beis HaLevi's answer. The Rav is the same in the name of his father, a different answer. That's what why I mentioned it then. And that is that the issue is Kabbalah Seidus issue. I mean, let's say, even if we say Yenochan Amid, Echad B'Shvua, is not a Chiyuv Mamon. It's a Chiyuv Shvua. But nonetheless, when Bezdin hears from an Eid Echad that something took place, right, they don't say, oh, call out the Chiyuv Shvua squad immediately. Not what they say. They say, oh, there's one more aid, and we've got ourselves, you know, a portfolio here. We've got ourselves a case. That's what they say. They're expectantly awaiting, you know, the tziruf of that second aid. The Kabbalah say this is lein and mamon, not lein and shur. And maybe that's what's koveya. That's why I mentioned it then, because we were trying to, I tried to expand significantly on this idea of Kabbalah say this. I want to show, at least, that it it has very strong roots in some areas. Oh. So, just to point out the following. Does Rav Nosson's halacha work in Dinei Nefashos or only Dinei Mamonos? Put it this way. The Gemara has Rav Nosson and they have Rav Yishuv ben Korach. So I'm going to have to stop in like 1 minute. So maybe we'll just spend five more minutes on this next time. But I don't know, maybe I'll get through it quickly. Let's just go get through it quickly. Rav Yishuv ben Korach's halacha is connected with Rav Nosson's halacha. Right, they're different. One is a split in the Riyas Eidus, or even the Chetzishal Eidus, right? Especially if it's Hodah, Char Hodah, Havah, Char Havah. That's Rabbi Yishuv ben Korach's Kiddush of Eidus Miuchedes. Rabbi Nosson's about Haggadah Bebezdin. The din of Rabbi Yishuv ben Korach, right, is accepted in Dinei Mamonos, but not in Dinei Nefashos, for understandable reasons. Makes sense in Dinei Mamonos. The Gavra is Chayv $100, whether it's, you know, it's you know, one aid telling you about one loan to the fellow, the other aid tells you about a different loan to the same fellow, but they both agree that he owes that guy $100. But in the Nefashos, we've discussed many times, you need Eidus on the Maisa, not just on the Chovas HaGavra. You can't have an accumulated Chovas HaGavra in Dine Nefashos. You can in Dine Mamas. Good. So when it comes to the Eidus Miuchedes or Yishuv ben Korach, there's a chiluk between Mamon and Nefashos. And in between, there's the question of what do you do with Ishus? Right, and that's an issue we already talked about, right? We talked about Eidus Miuchedes when it came up, when we were talking about Eidus Miuchedes in Cheskes Givul Shanim, right? So we mentioned the debate about Eidus Miuchedes in Ishus. Right? The Ran on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Ein Gimel Lamed Beis, Lamed Hayom and Aleph, I think, in the Dape Arif in Gittin, says, you know, if there's yichud in the context of a divorce and you're worried about a remarriage, but it's one eid in the morning, one eid in the afternoon, that you're not mitzarev. And the Ran explains why you're not mitzarev, because that's dina nefashos. That's yishus yishus dina nefashos. And the Rajba, that's the Ran there on Alatar, and the Rajba in Pe'alef Amud Beis in Gittin says totally different reason, eid ekiyum. But from a nefashos mamonos point of view, it seems like it's not such a davar pasha. But there's an issue in general. What is the status of ishus for drisha v'chakira, the last sugya in Masechet Yevamos? It's a big issue. So with regard to Rabbi Yishuv ben Korach, this is an issue as well. What about Rav Nosson? Rav Nosson, the chachamim think that it's eidus miuchedes, but it's only in the Haggadah, it's not in the Riyah. So we pass like Rav Nosson. Do we still mechalik between mamonos and nefashos? So do we or don't we? What does the Rambam say? What?
Rambam says we are.
Sounds like we are, right? Because he says the mamonos dalad dalad. They just dalad dalad. He doesn't say explicitly v'lo b'nefashos. It's not as explicit as it is in real eidus miuchedes, but it sounds like the Rambam wants to limit this to mamonos. Now, if that's true, so two things, I think, need to be raised. As one could have said, we paskin like Rav Nosson. The Chachamim, let me put it this way. The Chachamim against Rav Nosson don't like Rav Nosson because why? I mean, there are two Eidim here. What's the problem? It's not Eidus Miuchedes of Echad Michalon Zev, Echad Michalon Zen. It's certainly not Hodah Achar Hodah. What's the problem? The answer is, they think that in the Haggadah, there's a if you have a separate Haggadah, it's a violation of Kat, right? Motzim and Amamo. It's a deal. It sounds like it's a real deal. Motzim and Amamo. What's the problem according to the Chacham of Rav Nasan? They think that what you have here are two Eid Echads, not a Kat. And a Kat is more than two Eid Echads. Right? Now, we paskin like Rav Nasan, so we have two possibilities. One is to say that Rav Nasan holds that the Maisa Haggadah is not what establishes a kat. The tochen of their edus is the same. They're being made on the same person, same action. Even, you know, Rav b'chalon, b'chalon echad, as far as we know. Right? Otherwise it would be messed up with, mixed up with the other sugya. They saw together everything kadasu kadin, but they're being made separately. So that's a kat. And if it's a kat shlema, gemura, and as he rejects the chachamim completely. Again, if you look at the sugya in Sanhedrin, lamed aleph, yeah, you'll see. The Chachamim say, this is Eid Echa, not Shnei Edim. So what's Rav Nosson's view? In a Chanami, or you're wrong, it's Shnei Edim because the Tochen is Koveya. That it shouldn't matter, Mamanus Nefashos, it shouldn't make a difference. If Rav Nosson says, you're right, it's Shnei Echads, but who said Shnei Echads can't combine to two Edim in Dine Mamanus? Right? The view, the Machokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether Eid Shabbat Mitzasa Bat Lakul, only in Nefashos, or even in Mamanus. Why not Mamanus? Because maybe the idea of a kat is critical to Nefashos, not so necessary to Mamanus. Eid Echad B'Shvua works in Mamanus, that means Eid Echad works. So you need two Eid Echads, but you don't need a kat. We discussed this again this year a few times, and last year, as I recall, several times as well. It comes up. The point is, if Rav Nasan is saying two Eid Echads are enough, your analysis is correct, but you're wrong in the bottom line. So then, what the Rambam's, the Diuk and the Rambam may be correct. Fine in Mamanus, but not in the Fashos. But then, two things are interesting. Number one, what about Kahuna? Because the Gemara here is saying that Rav Nasan applies to Kahuna. That's not so Pasha. Second question is that if you say this, so then the Nor Behuda's question is stronger a little bit. Because if the point is not that, you know, the two aids that come are a kat, but the two aidim are two aid echads, you can still give the answer. That isn't anticipated because two aid echads also work for mominus. But at least initially, if even in the end it's a combination of two aid echads rather than tchilas akat, then that issue is a little bit more problematic. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll start with Shnar Zaifa on Thursday. I'm sorry we got a little late, but.
You have dinner?